John Chester number 4. Now you're coming back and make announcement for the early Chapter Baptist Church Bible Conference that will begin January the 28th. That's a week from now, man. So they the church is going to have a small up on the mountain this morning and call the services out. And so we're glad that they come to be with us. And the early Chapter Baptist Church Bible Conference will begin on January 28th through that February the 1st. That's the week before ours. And we'll have to put ours off a couple of weeks this year on account of Dr. Ray. And that's when he's scheduled and committing the time. And so you be sure to try to go and be with him down there at Baby Chapel. But Ben Bowles, of course, will be preaching every night. And then he also has Brother Austin Dixon, Brother Van Crawford, Brother Daniel Williams, Brother Luther Carl, and Brother Clifford Phillips will be preaching respectively those Monday through Friday. And Dr. Bowles will be preaching every night, right? And so you be sure to go with him. He was down there with him last year, and I think the year before last Saturday, and he heard the preaching. And it's a real blessing. So you be sure to keep that in mind and try to go and visit with them if you can. Now, I thought what I'm going to do this morning is maybe do a little bit of something unusual. And if this is the first time you've ever been here, you may not really appreciate what I'm going to preach about this morning, but the Lord must have sent you here for a reason. And I hope that His will is done in your life. And so in John chapter 4, many of you know the story. You can preach 30 sermons to about all sorry men out here sinning. And everybody says, amen, that's right, preacher. That needs to be preached on. And 1 out of 100, you say, I'm going to preach about women. And boy, they just go on preaching. And all you preaching about women. And 1 out of 100, that ain't right. That's a lie. That's not all you're preaching on. You're preaching 1 out of 100. 99 times out of 10, you're preaching them on sorry men. But I am going to preach that woman this morning. And just so you won't think I'm prejudiced, I've been doing my heart about this. I want to preach 2 sermons today. 1 to men and 1 to women. And just so you don't think I'm prejudiced, I'll say you women first. Ain't that a blessing? I'll say you won't think that I'm being ungentlemanly or something like that. We'll just go ahead and preach on the women first. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the woman that wouldn't leave the men alone. Isn't that a nice, sweet little title for a son? The woman that wouldn't leave the men alone. As they would say in the big convention meeting, preacher, that's very timely, wouldn't you say? Very timely for our generation. Now, tonight, just so you wouldn't know what I mean, I'm going to preach on the man who wouldn't leave the women alone. You got all these and figure out who that is in the Bible. You don't know who this woman is here, this woman in John chapter 4, couldn't leave the men alone. And she's in a mess, because she couldn't leave the men alone. And tonight I'm going to preach on the man who wouldn't leave the women alone. That's the corruption of our nation. It's going to be the downfall of this country. People are going to get back to morals again. Our country's shocked if our people don't get back to morals. I mean, people nowadays, I mean, they trade women and men just like people take off shirts. And same shirt for trade cars. I mean, when your car gets real off, you throw it in for a newer model. Nowadays, man, when she gets old and cranky and gets too wrinkled, you just slap off your baby for 320s and jack up to them for a while. We're living in a time that we believe to hear about what the Bible says about the woman that wouldn't leave the men alone. In John chapter 4, you find this story. And I'm sure most of you know it, so we'll not take time to read it all. Very, very familiar story of the woman at the well. And John chapter 4, the Lord came from Samaria. Look at verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, the Bible said that verse 6, Jacob's well was dry. And Jesus sat living and wearied with his journey, set thus on the well. And it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. His disciples were run away in the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered the son of Herod, sit down here with the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldst ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman says unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Joseph, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, now, we stop over this second. You understand the scripture, don't you? This woman is willing to the Lord asked her for a drink. And he's talking about giving her living water. Now, she still thinks he's talking about this little water that she drank out of a cup. Now, the Lord is talking about something altogether different. Spiritual water that would be a well in her, bring it up. But she couldn't get it straight and have a deal with her sin because she could understand anything spiritual. And he said, Dad, what is it, this first thing? And whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman says unto him, she still didn't understand. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus says unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. Now, the Lord knew she couldn't understand, so put his finger right on her problem. Every time you deal with the Lord, I'll tell you what he'll do. That's when the Lord people don't like to come to church out there. Because God will put his finger right on your problem that's in your heart.
this morning. Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost we found and bring conviction and conversion in this service this morning. I pray, God, the power of the Lord, there might be lips to pray, and Lord, meet the need in someone's heart. I don't know who is sitting here before me this morning, but you know, that's all that matters. I pray you miss it every heart, for it should be done in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm thinking on the woman that couldn't leave the man alone. Bible said here that the Lord must go to Samaria. The Lord had a crazy adversary here and told this woman about Jesus. There's a lot of things in the scripture, and there's no way in just a few short moments we have we'll be able to listen and point out in the scripture of the fear of the woman at the well. There's all kinds of things. You can preach a whole message just on the compassion of Jesus and even associate yourself with sinful people. And the Lord truly done that. But we're going to be able to test that woman this morning and maybe see her in a little bit different light than what you've seen her before. I know that a lot of times men, a woman resist a preacher preaching directly to them, but my job to preach this whole Bible, and that is in the Bible. I'm not doing the popularity contest. I'm really trying to be faithful to God and His Word. And I know that women say, well, I'll take that for you, ladies. I promise, Lord will. I will tonight. And so, they say, women have many faults, men have only two. Everything they say, and that's what they do. But did you know, a lot of women have that idea that all of the men are false. And neither one of those are right. We're all guilty before God. Man is no more guilty than woman, woman is no more guilty than man. Each third person, that means no more what he's doing, he really is. And so, we're not trying to shift any blame and not trying to be a male chauvinist or a sexist or any of those crazy hair-brained terms they've invented nowadays to kind of confuse people. We're just simply trying to be faithful to the Word of God and do what God wants us to do. This morning. And if you don't believe this, you're brainwashed. I do believe there's a difference between men and women. Men and women are not the same. If you think men and women are the same, there is something wrong in your logic. God didn't make us the same. God never intended for us to be the same. He didn't make men any better or women any better, but we're not the same. I mean, man, if you think men and women are the same, there's something matter in your brain.
I know that I have the television on television, and
the soul is perfect, and the soul
all the father talk about
country music is probably just as bad, not worth as rock,
as far as advocating of bullshit.
I know a lot of time we talk about rock, I'm not alone. What about this thing?
Country junk, man.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about 48 ways to lose your lover. I'm thinking the same way about a man.
I won't change, you know, it's me.
I love you, you got my heart, you got my way. All right, man, that's bullshit.
Expressing your nature. I don't care if they say you do your own thing, it's a sin.
It's God. And God will judge it. Heard by the
ground. It was terrible. I know a lot of times we holy Christians jump on somebody like this with a bad background. And then we pounce on them and say, oh, lay down.
Yeah.
because you may have not committed some sin they committed. It wasn't the work of God, you'd be doing something a lot worse. She's a Hollywood soap opera star, but there really is any spooky, soapy, sobby stories. She somehow maybe thought these men had satisfied her insecurity in her life. A lot of women have a bad relationship with their dad and their mother growing up or something. Somehow makes them feel insecure. And so they turn to boys and they say, he'll satisfy me. He'll satisfy me. But they know, they know you're a job. You know what? I'm going to go right now. So daddy's a drunk. Makes the family coughing, screaming, hard, fighting all the time, and you let the girl down, let them go down, but you let the attitude, just as soon as I can find me one, I'm going to get mad and get out of this mess, and lo and behold, if that girl is going to run out and marry somebody just the size of everybody was.
Right.
That's strange. I've never been able to figure that out. If I was a girl and my daddy's drunk, and I knew what it was like to live there in a home of a drunkard, I wouldn't get to marry the 10-foot insecure. They say women marry for curiosity, and men for comfort, and both are disappointing. But you know, women are not married like you, they're not with insecure feelings. And if a woman ain't careful, the only reason she'll marry a man is because she's insecure. And that's the only reason I'm going to look. I mean, she may not even love the guy. She just says, well, that's my time to deal with, and take care of me and hold me when I'm lonely at night.
She knows for better or for worse, but not for good.
That's all.
She's one of these sort of, I'll take him and worry if things go like I want them to go. And if he don't walk the talk, I'm splitting.
This Hollywood generation ain't come out with something new. That's the only word of God.
Yeah.
I would say, you ladies here this morning, when you take that man to be your wife, your husband, I'm sorry. When you take that man and you be his wife, and he becomes your husband, some of them are hard to preach to. Loosen up a little bit. That's what messing me up. Anyway, I tell you, brother, he said, I'm taking you for my husband. You know what you ought to do? You look at him and say, honey, this is it. Oh, what you ought to do with me? If I can die. That's it. Other than that, just stuck with me. I'm sticking out by you through thick, through thin, through hardship, through good times, with a together. And you know your marriage will do a lot better if you make up your mind you're staying together. Make up your mind you're staying together. I mean, don't even ever entertain the thought of leaving each other. Don't even have your mind. Don't even consider it. Because if you do, first time brothers don't want you like, they better tell you. Now, there's circumstances where people have been run off. There's circumstances where people got the head beating in. There's circumstances where they flood for their life. You know, God only knows what goes on with just like that. I tell you, brother, in a Christian mind should never have to break up. And I know they have, and I know they sometimes do, but they should never have to. Well, I tell you what, Mary, she looks too mean too much. Take your Bible and go to Ezekiel 33 with me, and I'll show you something that probably a lot of you didn't know was in the Bible. Ezekiel 23. Now, I believe you're going to see them that says men fall in love with what they see, and women fall in love with what they hear. I believe that. But sometimes the woman can reach kind of to where all she does is start leaning. And I'll show you that in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 23. And this father here of old, Holah, her sister. Ain't no wonder they have to go hunt a man. It ain't my cat. Anyway, they done this, that, and the other. I want you to know the here in verse number 43.
saw, look at it now, when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, pictures of men's bodies, and the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with the million. You know what the million is? Instead, when this woman saw those pictures of a man's body on the wall with the million, she done messed herself up. The million is a black, yellowish, red paint. It's just like the poster of the week. That's a where they show the poster of the rap singers, and they got Michael Jackson and Michael P.I. or somebody, and they got this white red flashy thing around, and it's like, oh, my man's blood! And she saw it. And we saw in verse number 15, David was going to learn about all those old matches. Man, the man is on! They see you in God of power, they got their eyes and their hats, and everything else upon their heads. She saw them with her eyes, she bodied upon them and sent messengers on them in the Chaldea. She wrote them a letter as soon as she seen the picture. Now, I know that time was going a long time by this money. That was the only thing that was the TV of like 4,000 years ago. And she saw them set up the star and then that little dude had him a prominent. And boy, he just split his life. I remember one day he's living his life, had a great big chain around his neck.
Ah.
when a woman had more decency about her to go out chasing boys. There was a time in this country, there was a time when little Daisy Darling, you know, was up in the top window, and put over the control desk to the bottom, and she'd pass by the window once in a while, and you'd be down there just passing out in the bushes. And boy, he'd be out, and he'd let her little know, and say, Daisy dear, if it would be permissible with you and your father, could I sit beside you on the front porch swing? And listen up, man, that's what it used to be. And girls were hard to get. You know why so many boys are turning into gays nowadays, homosexuals? Because girls ain't hard to get no more. They throw themselves at you. Well, ain't my fault. If it started from a couple of them, we'd be bones, right? Remember that. I bet this woman had a wedding dress on the house for sale. It cost $160, high price. Went over 4 hours. I guess this woman lived more than maybe 6 hours in all those weddings. You're the highest happiness in the world is somebody saved and married. You can't get no happier on this earth than to be saved and married and have a happy home relationship. That's it. That's utopia, brother. That's as close to heaven you'll ever have in this earth is to be saved in God's will and have a happy Christian marriage. Oh, our generation. And I'm not trying to make fun of this morning. I know it sounds rough, and I'm saying that if you knew in my heart, I really do care about people, and I love them. The reason I preach hard to them and talk mean to them is because I'm trying to get your attention. They say, we see her sinning. Right quickly this morning, I got to hold on. Notice secondly, we see her salvation. Could she be saved, preacher? Could this woman that had been married 5 times and second up to the little man, could she get forgiveness for that? I answer is absolutely yes. Thank God, yes. We have people come here like this and say because there was an immoral life or something, that somebody told them that they couldn't be saved. Hard work, brother. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. You know what people do? They put sins on scale. And they say, now they won't forgive you for that. But now that, no, you won't get forgiveness for. No, sir. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something this morning. Any sin you can confess, God can forgive. If you can confess it, God can forgive it. Could she be saved? Yes. She had to get thirsty for living water. You know what she had to do? She had to get tired of her sins. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you'll never get saved. You get tired of your sins. I don't think the gospel will believe that junk these days. They can say, well, we'll still ahead and get saved and we'll quit your sin away. You don't get saved unless you quit living your sin. You can't get saved unless you're willing to turn from your sin and you never turn from it, you get sick of it. Old prodigal son down there in the hog pen, when he got fed up with it, he got sick of it, and he said, I'm going back home. You will never get help from God until you get sick of your sin. You got to get sick of your sin. And when he said, oh, like I don't want you, and I ain't gonna let you tell me what to do. I'll just go up to another church and never talk to me like that. And I'll just go up and do this and that. And you know what? You'll never get saved. You'll never get saved until you're sick of your sin. Amen. And she got sick of him. She thought, oh, number 5, number 4, don't want to think about him. Number 3, he won't meet me. Number 2, he was drunk. Number 1, oh, Lord, I'm sick of it. Lord, I'm ready for a new life. Lord, I'm ready for something different. Lord, I'm ready for living water. Lord, if you can help me, here I am. That's what you got to get this morning. Before God, if God's going to help you, you got to get to a place where you say, Lord, I'm sick of it. I'm hungry. I don't want to live a life no more. And the Lord can help you. She knew she was the Savior. That's what she got saved. She knew he was a savior. A couple of things had to happen before she got saved. First thing was she had to overcome her religious background. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And before this woman could get saved, she had to completely overcome her complete religious background. That was hard to do. She'd been raised all her life that the Samaritan denomination was right and the Jewish denomination was wrong. She'd been raised all her life to believe something. Now, let me tell you something. If you've been raised to believe something all your life,
you don't just throw it out of your brain at one whack. It's hard to get out of there. That's what's wrong about 90% of people right now. Whether somebody taught them to screw up stuff when they were little, and the world can't take it. And she thought all her life the Jews were wrong, and the Samaritans were right, and she saw that he was the Messiah, and she thought, oh, boy, my mama, what's she going to think about the Jews' religion? What's she going to think about that? What's she going to think? She had to just forget about that and say, it doesn't matter. He's the Messiah. If I'm going to be saved, he's going to have to save me. And she was willing to forsake and to overcome her religious background. Did you know those people in Mayball County that would like to come to this church, and they'd like to be saved, and they'd like to have what you folks got this morning? You know why they won't? Because their religious background prohibits them from coming, and they're missing the Savior by their religious background. Religion has probably deceived and destroyed more people than any other thing on the face of this earth. I'm telling you this morning, her salvation was ready when she overturned her religious background. They were both convinced they were right, but both of them couldn't be right. There's a lot of preachers preaching a lot of different things, folks. They all can't be right. You're going to have to face that. They all can't be right. You better check it out and find out who's telling it right. Finally, her boldness in was washed away. Wonderful. So how do you know? She left the water pot and went off to the well. He said it'd be a roaring her of living water.
Amen.
But she said, but Lord, you don't know all the bad things I've done. He said, yeah, I do too. You got five husbands, and one you got now is chosen. So I guess you do know. And then she hung her head, and she said, Lord, I don't want to be like I am. I feel dirty and I feel cheap. But ever since I was little, I had insecurity and I had problems and I just turned to me and I thought they could satisfy me. I never intended to get myself in a mess like this. I never thought it would turn out like this. And the Lord says, there's nothing you can do about it now. It's over. It's past. But I tell you what, you can start out all over and brand new today. The Lord give you a brand new fresh start. You know, I thank God for that. That's one of the things that tickles me about being a preacher. Because I have the privilege of telling people who drive me wrecked that they can have a new start. Just like a little lady with no past. Brother, you can be born again and have a brand new life. Can be forgiven and washed away, and Brother Herb Bowden's sin was washed away. And she went back downtown. She got so excited, she left the water pot, left the runner, and went running back downtown. She said, you ought to see this man I met. Come and see. It's all never came running down. It's the Messiah.
Yes,
but I'm not saved. You say, where did she live? That was certainly her separation. She went in with him. She got it, son. Ain't no doubt about it. She had a changed life. She went back to town, and the first thing I want you to notice about her separation is she wasn't being pharisaical. She didn't go back to town and say, God bless God, you men. Come not nigh to me, for I am holier than thou. I now have had a religious experience, and I don't touch my garment anymore. Welcome back. That is the way she done it. She went back, and she said, oh, I'm a low-down sinner. Believe what I just met. Me, unworthy me, low-down me. She saved me. Maybe she witnessed to God's glory. She said, can you see a man? I really appreciate what she said, though. She wanted to see Jesus and not her. That's a good sign she got saved, brother. That's a good sign. Some of these so-called women at the well, Hollywood actors nowadays, when they get saved, supposedly, they don't need Jesus. If you're over there, who's over on the attraction on? Some of them bond out in country music and get saved so they can sing gospel for a while, make a little money. Because the first thing when the gospel songs go down, they go right back to that other kind of music. That ain't the kind of salvation this woman got. She didn't get that entertaining
herself. I mean, they didn't have her. Oh, take me out the next day. Give her testimony. And then she was at a bar room the next Friday night.
Yeah.
She didn't get that time. It was a different time. It was something that
said, here I come see this guy. Here, lady, come, it's a woman, come and see. He just threw things right out of the car and said, look at that, look at that, look at that. Come here.
Now, the way you know you really got saved, you're not out trying to make a name for yourself anymore.
Amen.
Well, soon she dedicated her life. She acted different, talked different, walked different. The Bible said in Proverbs, a woman of the harlot had an half power of the harlot. I bet she was different. See, you can spot it. She had a foot on the grass up the hill, and she'd walk down the road, smoke up the hill, and she'd walk in, man, and make it. Do all that. I don't have to do that stuff. We do all that stuff, and everybody says, ooh, boy, I bet she wouldn't be hard to take that. And then, next day, here she comes, with a big King James Bible under her arm. That's right, she had one. That's what she did. On fire, she is the King James, but it just wasn't called that yet. Amen. It was original then, but the same thing. And, brother, yeah, she carried that big old Bible in her arm and walked down through the aisle, and man, her heart was clean and shining, and she was dressed up, and she was still pretty, but she was a different kind of Christian. There's nothing more beautiful on the face of this earth than a godly, clean Christian woman. Man, there's nothing in the world more beautiful. She was pretty, but she wasn't wicked looking. I don't want to explain that. Why don't you know what I'm talking about? I mean, when they seen her now, maybe they say, oh, boy, I'd like to take her out. They said, ooh, she's pretty, but something about her makes me nervous. And she come on, had a big mug on her face. Her face was smiling. I've been preaching and yelling all week. Have mercy on me. All right, she had a mug on her face. I said, it's a big battle. It's more than the same thing to me and you. And say, hi, boys. I just met the Savior, and my sins are all forgiven. And I'm going to heaven when I have a world that changed their attitude. You know something this morning, friends? Men will go as far as women will. Do you know what's wrong with this country this morning? Women's morals of God. A man will go as far as women will lead. If you want to wait, and God blesses you, it's cause you lead, sister. Men ain't got no sense. They'll go just as far as you'll let them. You set the standards, girls. If you say, I ain't living that kind of life, if you better not hand off me and take the steak out. That's right. You set the standards of this nation. You do. You set the standards. And they'll go just as low as women will. You know why there's so much pornography and posing in them wicked books and everything? Women are doing it. You know why they're doing it? The money. And the whole country's pervaded because of it. The standards, the woman holds up the standards of our country. Now, I'm not saying the rest of men. All of your prejudice people irritate me when I'm preaching on stuff like this. But I'm saying this. You've got a complex and you need to get over it.
Amen.
To control the standards of the nation. Well, that's what I'm going to mention this morning among us. Her soul winner. She became an immediate soul winner. Usually a person that's real wicked and been holding forgiven much or love much. And boy, she went downtown, just a different person. And I noticed, I believe Spurgeon said one time that a man shouldn't give his testimony until he's changed as his evident as his feelings were. And what he's saying now, a guy said, what you did here, you're saying, he's up there and say, oh, he worked with my prayer, let him pray what? A change is evident in his life. Everybody says, man, he's praying, then let him give his testimony. Amen? And brother, she got him up there, and she come downtown, and everybody knew she was different by looking at her. And one of the old boyfriends come down and said, I don't know what her name was, I'll call her Fousey. Hey, Fousey, how you doing? And she said, I ain't my name no more. Oh, you got a name? What's in it? Bunny? What is it? She said, my name is Margaret.
might be some angry women. I just got in front of me right on the moon. Honest. And when we got women, I know them, we call her Musa. Am I right there? Or maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's been then. But maybe it's just something that didn't sound as seductive. And brother, he said, Lord, he said, I've got a new life.
Amen.
I've got a brand new life. I've got a new hope. I'm going to heaven. I met Jesus. He said, you been smoking something? She said, no, I ain't drunk a drop. I'm stone cold sober. I met Jesus. My life has changed. Why don't you come with me? And brother, you know what she done? She done what she could. I heard Dr. Bob Gray telling about that little girl named Sylvia. And he said Sylvia went down to the Air Force base and witnessed something. Said she was this little, you know, like that's a sunny little farm type of girl with a nice pretty long summer dress on and her face just as pure as a rose. And she'd go downtown and roll her big southern eyes around the little solar boys and say, how'd you like to go somewhere with me tonight? And he said, yes, sir. And she had a car door open, and he walked around the church, and there'd be about four other GIs in her car. She's home in church. He said, she done that all. Dr. Bob Gray said, she done that all. Now, you say, I don't believe that. I ain't sure, man. Whatever. She left the preacher for it. The old master, she's standing at the pole. But anyway, she said, she went, how'd you like to go? And what she said, so she bought four in the car and two in the trunk. Two GIs in the trunk of a car going to a Bible meeting, and they got saved. And she used what God had blessed her with, and her talent and her ability to witness from Jesus. She became a foreigner. She went in and said to the men, isn't that interesting that she said to the men of the city? Now, I'm sure she didn't just witness the men, but it said to the men. I remember it wasn't some insane men that knew what kind of life she was. She went back to the same men and said, hi, darling, what a game. She said, come and see a man. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. You don't know nobody like him. I'll give you this illustration when I close this morning. She became a foreigner.
Yeah.
There's no greater thing a person can do on this earth than bring somebody else to Jesus. I heard an illustration the other day how a preacher went into a hospital to visit. And as he went to the hospital to visit that day, he said this. He said, there's another fellow, I visited this one man here, and there's another man over in another bed, and he's laying there. And he's kind of old, and he had about 3 or 4 days growth of beard on his face. And he said, he's in pretty bad shape. And he said, this old woman come in, about 80 years old. He said, she looks 80 years old almost. And she come walking in there, and she had a little bag, and she had something, and she walked over that old man's bed, and she said, so, can I do something for you? He said, what, ma'am? She said, I noticed it looks like you're not able to save yourself, ma'am. I just like to save you for Jesus. And he kind of looked at her kind of funny, kind of embarrassed, and she said, I'm not going to hurt you, ma'am. It's just something I do for the Lord. I'm not able to do much, but the Lord gave me this little job to do, and I just want to, can I save you for the glory of God? And finally said, well, I reckon. And she reached down in her little old pocketbook and pulled out a little bag she had, and pulled out a little old can of shaving cream. And she reached back in there and pulled out a little white rag. Then she reached in there and pulled out a little straight razor. And then she got out a little blue pan and a little rinse sink and turned the water on real once and run some warm water in that little pan. And she said she got that thing around, got a long rose, and she lathered him up, you know, put it all over his face and all. And he said, all the time he was just sitting there resting that old sister. He said she got him down there and began to take that razor just real gently and delicately began to shave that growth of beard off his face. And the whole time she's shaving him, she's a witness to him. And during this time, she was saying, are you a Christian? And he, of course, said no. And she began to talk to him. The preacher said he noticed that that man listened very attentively while she had that razor. He said, that's a good way of witness, but we never thought about that. What a way to get your attention. You ain't never there, brother, the woman. And he said, She never looked certain. She says, you know, the Lord loves you. By the time she got through, she got that rug really warm, wiped his face off, and got him all nice and clean and dry and silk and smooth. And she said, now listen, can I show you some scripture? And she took out a little testament and showed him how to be saved. And the preacher said, he sat there and watched in amazement. Now that woman led that man to Jesus. And she just walked in and said, you know what I'm saying? He said, I feel bad, get out of here, you know. But you know what she done? She took that God little bit of ability God gave her and used it for the glory of God. People think these days you've got to be a great singer. Or a great voice. Or have everybody in here has got some talent you can just use for Jesus and be a soul winner if you do it. Every one of you. And that preacher said he sat there and watched while that woman led three men. Before she got out of, she led three men to Jesus that day.
She went back to the city and called him in and come see a man. They didn't have him, nobody liked him.
And they said, the woman who couldn't leave the men alone still can't keep them alone. But now she's either going to go to the church and get saved. Let's bow our heads. And we'll bow and we'll close on that thing. Let's come out quickly this morning, and we're going to sing a song in just a moment. We're not think just a minute this morning. I feel like God wants us to give an invitation. If we have bowed and our clothes, I'll be in place softly this morning. Kids are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying. Maybe someone here this morning that your life's in a mess. It may not be a mess like this one I talked about, but it may be a mess. You say, Brother Danny, I could never go to the altar after what you preach. People think I've done all kinds of terrible things. No, no, it wouldn't be that way at all. Maybe you've never even been married. Maybe you've never even committed these sins that I talked about this morning, but maybe you're just here and you're just a sinner. Maybe your life's not right with the Lord. Why don't you let Jesus help you this morning? Just be sure, as he helped that woman, he can help you. You may be a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, a boy, a girl, a teenager, I don't know. Just as sure as you're here this morning, there's somebody in this room needs help from the Lord. We're going to pray, we're going to stand, and we're going to sing. If you need to get right with the Lord this morning, I encourage you to just slip out of your seat. Come on down to this altar and get right. Father, take the message and somehow use it for your glory. God, I pray for that person back there this morning that's struggling. Feels like a bomb's about to go off inside their chest, God, and life's in a mess or something. You know, they just want to get up and run out. God, they want to hurry up and forget about all this. God, I pray you'd help them to know that's not the answer. Help them to know that coming to Jesus is the answer. Lord, help them get it settled. Get it all fixed up today. God, draw, convict, do what needs to be done in this service. In Jesus' name we pray.